disturbing discovery at an abandoned mobile home park.
Another suicide.
The nation's suicide rate is at its highest point since 1986.
When police came to the house, they saw tons and tons of trash. Turns out the daughter is a hoarder.
Crews made the gruesome discovery today inside a home.
They had 70 cats and dogs, mostly dogs. They found one deceased kitten inside the home.
A woman was found dead in a local home. That house had been tented for fumigation work.
The following is a true story. Names and locations are kept anonymous in order to protect the privacy of those involved.
I'm your host, Vanessa Fearson, and this is a true story. Cross my heart and hope. Well, just take my word for it. Before I jump right into a gnarly cleanup, I want to take a moment to tell you just a little bit about me. My husband Ethan and I have been doing crime scene cleanup for the past 10 years. We have four kids together, and he has a daughter from a prior marriage. For now, I assume you're more interested in what almost everyone else is, our job. So here we go. I hope you enjoy. This is the cleaning of John Doe. We received a call around 10 p.m. one Saturday night in the middle of June 2009. We were told it was a gunshot suicide. We arrived at the home located in a small remote lakeside village at around 11:30 p.m. The caller had informed us that he was a member of the local law enforcement and a friend of the victim's family. He would not be on site to meet us, but he said we would be meeting with three sheriff's deputies.
Hi, thanks for coming.
Being decent human beings, we always feel for the family and try to meet each scene with respect and professionalism. But when we hear that we're going to be working for law enforcement in a personal matter, we get a bit excited on the inside. There's no better inn than a cop who's experienced our services firsthand. Imagine that you have just experienced the traumatic loss of a loved one, and the responding officer personally refers someone to clean up the mess. Would you look any further than that? I know I wouldn't. Tragedies like this are not uncommon, and unfortunately, there's a high demand for services like ours. But we are a business like any other, and we want to be the ones to help people through this difficult time. So any opportunity to increase our visibility is exciting. We met with the designated deputies, and as they led us to the scene, with a look of pity on their faces, they filled us in on the details. I have cleaned up many suicides committed by many methods. When I rounded the corner and saw the hallway outside of the room, I knew this was going to be unlike any cleanup I had faced to date. We were told that the victim had shot himself in the head with a .30-06 hunting rifle. This bullet can travel at 2,900 feet per second, and it's designed to hit targets 1,000 yards away. I'm sure you can imagine the devastation this bullet can cause at point-blank range. At the time the trigger was pulled, his brother was in the next room. His parents were across the hall. The hallway cabinets, floor, and the ceiling were speckled with small drops of blood. From the blood spatter extending into the parents' bedroom, it was evident that their door had been opened during that final moment of their son's life. In the room where the tragedy occurred, blood and brain matter heavily coated all of the walls, the ceiling, the floor. It was even behind the light bulbs inside the solitary light fixture. It was literally everywhere. The body had been removed prior to our arrival, yet it was quite clear where he came to rest. There was a large puddle of congealed blood on the floor just below the dresser. There was a large dent in the dresser where his head, or what was left of it, impacted it from the force of the gun blast. Needless to say, it was a grisly scene with morbid circumstances, this was a parent's worst nightmare. Even the attending deputies were shocked into silence from what looked like the set of a Hollywood horror film. Daunted but not discouraged, we suited up and started what would later become a 16 straight hour cleanup. Unlike most cleaning where you work your way out of a room, we work our way into it. We do this to avoid walking all over and through any contaminants that might be present. One thing that struck me immediately was that, unlike a decomp, on a typical suicide there is usually no discernible odor. This scene was different. If you're enjoying this episode, I want to take a moment to tell you about Resonate Recordings. Resonate Recordings edited, mixed, mastered, and produced the episode you're currently listening to. They offer professional podcasting services to podcasters all over the world. Editing, mixing, mastering, custom production, sound design, music creation, hosting setup, and even RSS feed configuration are just a few of the services they offer. If you're considering starting a podcast or want to increase the quality of your podcast, go to resonaterecordings.com to see how they can save you time and help take your podcast to the next level. Resonate Recordings has a professional team of experienced audio engineers, producers, and musicians who all have a passion for podcasting. Right now, my listeners can go to resonaterecordings.com and get their first episode produced for free. No commitments, no strings attached. You too can have an expertly crafted podcast at no risk to you. So what are you waiting for? Go to resonaterecordings.com and complete the form at the bottom of the page. Just tell them Vanessa sent you. Now back to the show. The coppery scent of blood hung thick in the air. It was almost unbearable. We worked diligently and tirelessly through the night and into the morning. We were about 11 hours into the cleanup when we decided to break for lunch. In addition to being both physically and mentally exhausted as well as hungry, we needed the break to come back with fresh eyes. When you're staring at spots for hours on end, everything can have a tendency to blur together. And in our line of work, we can't afford to miss anything. It was about 10:30 a.m. and being a small community on a Sunday morning, our food options were limited. They were virtually non-existent, really. Luckily, the local grocery store a few blocks away was open and they had a deli. As we walked into the market, we felt like we had stumbled onto the scene of a different kind of horror flick. It was as though time froze. The store fell silent and all eyes were on us, staring, glaring, whispering. Although we know our services were needed, people didn't appreciate seeing us out and about in town. The deli attendant was friendly enough and took our order without incident. While waiting for our order, she made it quite clear that she and the entire town knew who we were and what, or rather who, we were cleaning up. Now, I know rumors supposedly spread like wildfire, but this made the trendiest high school seem like the Pony Express. This event affected not only the family, but the entire close-knit town. We quickly paid for our food and ate outside in silence. Once we had finished eating, we headed back to one of the worst jobs I've done to date. By the time we had all of the exposed surfaces cleaned, it was time to start pulling the furniture away from the walls to make sure that nothing fell between the cracks for the family to come across later. It's our job to remove any painful reminders, and with shotgun and rifle suicides, it's a tedious one. One thing most people don't realize is that in situations like this, you have family, EMTs, police, and coroner personnel on scene, and they potentially alter things unconsciously. Such things as closing drawers and doors that had been opened at the moment of impact, moving furniture or other items to get to the victim. You get the picture. All of these and more can conceal blood splatter and even brain matter that would have otherwise been visible upon first glance. When I pulled the bed out, I encountered my first experience with brain matter that wasn't splattered on a wall. It was resting on a CD case, and it was about the size of a tennis ball. I'm not really sure why they call it gray matter, because it's actually a pink fleshy color. Usually when dealing with brain matter, it's scattered across a wall, and by the time we're called out, it's dried and taken on a plaster-like consistency. This time, due to its size, it hadn't dried out and was slimy and squishy, kind of like jello that had started to melt. Next to the brain matter was a skull fragment about the same size. It looked like a piece of a broken vase a little boy hid from his mother so he wouldn't be in trouble. Except it wasn't. This broken piece was from that little boy himself. And being a parent, as I picked up the large skull fragment, I connected with the scene like I was trained not to. How could I not? In that moment, I realized why the typical lifespan of a crime scene cleaning career is short-lived. In my estimation, we found about 20% of his skull in fragments throughout the room. By mere happenstance, two of the fragments fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. These were collected and set aside to be turned into the coroner's office to return to the body so he could be buried as holy as possible. The last thing we did was recover the bullet. It had pierced the victim's skull in the ceiling and had then embedded itself into the roofing board. I say itself, but at this point, it had become jagged chunks of copper. After all was said and done, we had loaded up and headed back to get some much-needed sleep before the next call came in. We stopped at a local gas station to fill up and take a moment to gather ourselves. We were approached by another local who, unsurprisingly, knew why we were in town. He told us that the family would be returning shortly and that he didn't want them to see us. Basically, we needed to hit the road immediately. Most of the time, our customers are very thankful for our services. I'm not saying we're heroes or anything, but we do make tragedies at least a little easier on families. Other times, like this, we are the final act of that tragedy. It's okay, I understand. Although our job is to remove painful reminders, sometimes we are that last reminder and people are glad to see us go. It is said that it helps to talk about it in the wake of a tragedy like this. Oftentimes, family like to use us as a sounding board, and in doing so, we get missing details. However, none of the family was present on this cleanup, so we contented ourselves with simply doing our job and going home. Due to the extent of the cleanup and the circumstances surrounding it, I must admit that our curiosity was piqued. We aren't detectives or forensically trained or anything, but we took it upon ourselves to see if we could discover the details on our own. There was no news story about the incident, so we had to fill in some gaps ourselves. The victim was about 20 years old. He was heavy set. He had thick glasses, and it seemed that his only passion or interest was hunting. Well, that and his girlfriend. It seemed like they were solid and very happy together. Suddenly, his Facebook went inactive. His last post was done right before the incident. He changed his status to single. Of course, we could be completely wrong in our quote-unquote investigation. I realize there's often more than meets the eye. But after being up close and personal in these people's homes, I think it was quite clear. He killed himself over a girl. Would you agree? It's simple human nature to be curious. Honestly, knowing the reason rightly or wrongly doesn't make it easier to understand or accept. But for me, knowing something is better than knowing nothing and forever wondering why. Since being a mom, I sometimes kick myself for being so nosy. I mean, up until this point, the thought of my kid committing suicide had never crossed my mind. Thanks for listening to The Cleaning of John Doe. Please tune in next week for The Beginning, the backstory on how we got started.